Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cembra Full Year 2021 Results Conference Call and Live Webcast. I am Paul, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Holger Laubenthal, CEO of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. Pleased to be here. I am here with my partners, Pascal Perritaz, CFO, and Volker Gloe, Chief Risk Officer. We look forward to walking you through this presentation this morning and then also, of course, your questions and look forward to a lively discussion. Let me start with the overview on the year. This is really in line with what we presented and discussed in December as well. A few key messages. First, you know, we obviously have had a challenging environment around all of us, but within that, I'm pleased to be able to report record net income of 161.5 million Swiss francs due to resilient business performance really across the board, which is 6% increase over prior year. Second, at the first half, we expressed that we were dissatisfied with the reduction of assets. We've intensified our efforts here. Pleased to be able to report that we've been able to stabilize these. Third, the strong rebound in the cards business, which we also talked about in December. Fees are up 7%. That also confirms the robustness of that business. Fourth, continued excellent loss performance at 0.8%. Lastly, we're also pleased to report a dividend increase to 3.85 per share on the back of strong earnings and a solid capital position. That's the overview. Let me spend a few minutes on the markets on the next page. Both the personal loans and the auto markets have been flat. Various factors, COVID impact, some continued consumer restraint, as we also talked about, continued supply chain challenges on the auto market. We've held our share in the auto business in the second half as well in personal loans, really stemming from the task force we mentioned already that we implemented, and the rated asset stabilization. Cards transaction volumes in the market have increased noticeably back to 2019 levels, and we've performed well here with the number of cards up 4% and stable market share. Last but not least, fourth area, buy now, pay later. We discussed this in December. Strong growth in some of the underlying markets, e-commerce market here, and our billing volumes are up 25%. Very good progress on this front. I'd say overall, as we look back and then also forward into the year, we're optimistic about the market outlook, particularly with the continued lifting of restrictions and the proven ability of our businesses to rebound. Let me spend a few minutes on the operational highlights for this last year. Look, there's clearly been a couple of challenges and setback with Migros, but we've also shown that we can deliver in tough times in terms of the net income. Then with the conclusion of our strategic review, we prepared the foundation for growth going forward. A few things I'd highlight, the discipline on cost and risks have really paid off well for us. As I said, we've been able to stabilize assets in the second half in personal loans. Auto and cards have shown solid performance, good recovery in card commission since May. Look, strong momentum in Swiss billing. Quite excited about this business, as we said, and we won some key partnerships there. We've also made considerable progress in our cards transition program. We talked to you about this in August. We reiterated where we stood in December, and again today, we can confirm that we're on track for this program to deliver, and we're pleased with the continued focus on sustainability in terms of strong ESG ratings and performance metrics. Overall, you know, strong performance against some headwinds, and really positioning ourselves well to benefit from the continued recovery with the strategic review that we conducted, an optimistic outlook for the year. With that, let me hand over to Pascal for the next section.
Thank you, Holger, and good morning, everyone. Let me start with reinforcing what Holger just said. Despite almost 5 months of economic restrictions on both domestic consumptions and international travels in 2021, we delivered a robust and resilient business performance in all our businesses and our assets in personal loans and auto stabilized for the second half of the year. We are very pleased with our excellent loss performance and the increase of commission and fees, driven mainly first by the rebound of our credit card fees in the second half of the year, and by the growth in revenues in our buy now, pay later activities with our subsidiary, Swiss Billing. We can start 2022 with good confidence. Let's dig deeper into the numbers. We provided a trading update at our Investor Day on December 7, and I'm pleased to report that our P&L financial results are at the upper end of the range we disclosed. Net income of 161.5 at the upper range of the 159-162. EPS of 55 at the upper range of 540 to 550. And net revenue of 487 at the upper range of 482-487. The total net revenue declined by 2% for the full year, respectively as a plus 1% increase for the second half of the year, after 5% reductions reported the first 6 months. Interest income declined by 5% due to lower asset base in personal loan. Interest expense was 3% lower, driven by lower funding. Commission and fees income increased by 7% to 130.3 million, following the rebound that began in May 2021, income from credit card fees increased by 13% for the 12 months. The total operating expense declined slightly from 247 to 246, and I will further comment on the expense later in my presentations. And the provisions for losses decreased by 29% to 40.3 million due to an excellent underlying loss performance, as well as the one-off sale of our previous written-off financing receivables. This results in a loss rate of 0.6%, and adjusted for this one-off, the loss rate was 0.8% compared to 0.9% in 2020. Volker will further comment on the loss performance later. On the return on financing receivables, at the Investor Day, we said that we will introduce a new alternative performance metric with this return on financing receivables, or net margin. Let's repeat why we are introducing this new metric. In the past, we mainly commented on the yield development as an indication for margin development. But margin, again, is the sum of several components: pricing, yield, acquisitions cost, interest expense, provisions for losses, operating expense, taxes. And with this closure, we decompose our profit by source to better explain the movements in our net margin. So you can see here that our margin improved from 2.3% to 2.5%, driven by the increase in commission and fees, mainly from the credit card fees in the second half of the year. We'll further comment later. And basically, as the strong loss performance. Now let's talk about the net financing receivables, the interest income, and the yield. The net financing receivables amounted to 6.2 billion, a decline of 1% compared to year-end 2020. Interest income declined by 5% from 402 to 383. In the personal loan business, receivables declined by 5%. This decrease was mainly attributed to the lower compared to 7.4% in 2020 and 7.1% at H1 2021. The net financing receivables in auto, lease and loan declined by 1%, and the interest income aged up by 1% to 130.1 million with a yield stable. And in the cards business, the net financing receivables increased by 6% as a result of the recovery that began in the second half of the year, and the interest income, the cards, increased slightly, up 1%, with a yield stable as well. Now let's talk about the card transaction volume and the card revenues. The card transaction volume increased by 13% in 2021, respectively 8% compared to 2019 or pre-COVID level. As you can see, the first 4 months of 2021 were impacted by the economic lockdown, and volume increased above pre-COVID-19 since May, driven by the lifting of the travel restrictions and the increasing international volumes. On the bottom, let's talk about the card's net revenue. During that period, the interest income remained in the cards business remained very stable, driven by resilient interest-bearing assets. And the cards commission and fees rose by 13% for the full year, respectively, minus 4% was for the first 6 months, and plus 29% for the second half of the year. As you can see on the page, the revenue gap compared to the pre-COVID level narrowed since May, and we have seen an increase in international volume due to lifting of the travel restrictions. We are confident with the recovery of the credit card revenue in the post-COVID world. In December, the emergence of the new COVID variant Omicron and the introductions of new economic restrictions had a temporary impact on the card revenues, again slightly below the level pre-COVID. Let's move to operating expense. The operating expense declined slightly from 247.4 to 246.3 million, and the cost income raised to 50.6% due to the lower revenue compared to 49.8% in 2020. With the results announcement in summer last year, in July, we reported a disappointing cost income ratio of 52.6% driven by temporary lower revenue, and for the last 6 months of the year, and following the gradual revenue recoveries, we achieved a cost income ratio of 48.6 for the last 6 months. Compensation and benefits expense increased by 2.7 million, and the increase is mainly due to higher average salaries and one-off organizational changes. At the end of December 2021, the number of employees was 916, a decline of 12 compared to 2020, and a decline of 47 FTEs compared to 2019. Cost from professional services stable, marketing expense were down 26%. This is largely due to the closure of the Chambra SME business and new product launch, so higher marketing spend in 2020. And obviously offset with some higher customer acquisitions and asset generations in 2021. Collection and fees decreased by 10%. Cost for postage and stationery increased by 7%, and this is mainly due to higher postage for asset generations campaign and card plastic productions cost. Rental expense declined by 14% related to branch closures as well as renegotiations of rental contracts. IT costs of 41.4 were 6% higher. This increase was due to the expense for digitization projects and include also some due diligence activities related to our strategic initiatives or strategic program Operation Excellence. And finally, depreciations and amortizations was 6% lower, mainly due to previous investments reaching end of life. Let me finish these sections with our overall approach to expense management. During the COVID period, we carefully assess our discretionary spend and take necessary measures to address lower revenues, but without jeopardizing our long-term strategic investments and ambitions. And as always, we remain disciplined in our approach to cost management, which is part of our Chambra DNA. In the context of our strategy executions announced in December, we expect the cost-income ratio to remain stable in 2022. Let's move now to the balance sheet. As already mentioned, net financing receivables amounted to 6.2 billion, a decline of 1%, and this was mainly driven by the extended impact of the COVID-19 on consumer financing needs. The funding decrease is in line as with the decline in the financing receivables and the cash. The equity increased by 6%, driven by the raise in retained earnings and the dividend payment of 110 million in April 2021. Let's dig deeper into the net financing receivables and the basically comparison first half of the year versus second half of the year. The net financing receivables of 6.2 billion was lower than the range of 3.6 billion we gave in the Investor Day as part of our trading update. P-loan and auto assets were in line with our assumptions, and the cards were slightly lower. Let me explain what we observed in the cards assets at the second half of the year. So the overall cards assets were flat at H2. The good news is that the interest-bearing assets increased and basically also offset by reductions in transactional assets. The transactional assets represent the total balance of invoice at the end of the period, which are within the grace period, meaning the period between the date of issuance of the invoice and the date of the payment, the date the payment is due. And during that period, obviously, we of course not charge interest. These assets are more volatile, for example, when the date of the end of the period is during a weekend or a banking holiday. Now, obviously, if you don't pay the amount you owe in the full by the due date, we will then charge interest on the remaining balance. And they are interest-bearing assets. And we observed during the COVID-19 that these assets are stable, resilient, and this is why the reasons the card interest income have even as though slightly increased during the COVID-19. We already mentioned before the personal loan at the second half of the year stabilized, and with the launch of the task force to aggressively address the drop we had in personal loan assets at H1. And finally, auto, I would summarize as a strong performance in auto in spite of continued supply chain challenges. A few comments on the funding. The group funding portfolio declined by 3% to 5.7 billion. This is largely in line with lower asset base and cash. Overall, the funding mix remained largely stable, 56% deposits and 44% non-deposit. The weighted average durations decreased slightly to 2.5%, and the period-end funding cost amounted to 44 basis points compared to 45 in 2020. We have a well-diversified funding portfolio with diversified maturity bucket to manage those sensitivity for higher rates. As of December 2021, the group maintained 400 million of undrawn as a committed facilities, and on the 21st December 2021, we issued a 200 million senior unsecured bond at 100% with maturity of 7 years and a coupon at 0.4175%. Now I would like to hand over to Volker to comment on this excellent loss performance.
Yes, thank you, Pascal. As already shown in the P&L, Cembra can report a very good loss performance for the year 2021 with a loss rate of 0.6%, which translates into absolute numbers, so loss provisions of 40.3 million. This is fully in line with the trading update that we gave in December. As we highlighted already under the earnings release for the first half of the year 2021, the loss provisions are impacted by a one-off effect that I quickly want to remind on. We sold in the first quarter a portfolio of previously written-off assets as a pool of loss certificates to a third party. And what such a sale does is to accelerate the expected recovery flow of the future into a one-time payment in the financial period. The proceeds of this sale amounted to 8.2 million, which then, as additional recoveries, impact the loss provision of the year 2021 positively. What I want to highlight, though, is that even when we normalize or after normalizing for this one-off effect, the loss rate would have been at 0.8%, which is still a good number and certainly in line with the guidance that we have been giving in the past. It also illustrates the continued resilience of the business, as also asset quality metrics like delinquencies or NPLs remain very solid. 30-plus delinquencies came in at 1.6%, and the NPL ratio came in at 0.6%, and both metrics slightly better than in the year before. In 2021, the bank could still benefit from the measures that were taken back in 2020 to prevent any adverse impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. While these specific actions might have been reversed in the meantime, the generally diligent approach towards credit risk-taking remains part of our DNA. Consequently, we communicated and now also want to reiterate the loss rate target level of less or equal than 1%. And with that, I hand it then back to Pascal to update us on the capital position.
Thank you, Volker, for this very strong loss performance. On the capital side, though, we remain very well capitalized with a strong Tier 1 capital ratio of 18.9%. As already mentioned before, shareholders' equity increased by 6% due to the retained earnings, as well as the payout of the dividend of 110 million in April 21. Given this robust financial performance, sound capital positions, and a record net income, the board of directors will propose a dividend of 3.85 per share, which represents a 70% payout ratio at the next general meeting on 21st April 2022, which translates into a 3% or 0.10 Swiss francs increase compared to last year. Thank you, and I would like now to hand over to Holger for the 2022 priorities as well as outlook.
Great, thanks, Pascal. So on the next page here, you'll see on the left side, you will recognize this from our Capital Markets Day, right? And so just to reiterate the substance of our strategy, four programs. First, operational excellence, which is about two things, a simpler operating model and renewing our technology stack to drive both efficiency and significant customer value enhancements, deliver 30 million of annual cost base reduction and contribute to the cost income ratio below 39% by 2026. Secondly, accelerating our core businesses, which is around improving customer experience and digitization, further differentiating our offerings, also tapping into new growth opportunities with Swiss billing, in combination of these delivering asset growth as well as increasing commission and fees. And then all this underpinned by a cultural transformation with a customer-first mindset and a more agile and learning organization. So you've seen this. You've also seen what's on the right. This is a subset of the initiatives that we are executing to implement this strategy. And it's obviously here focused on 2022. So I just pick a few here to highlight what we're looking to achieve and what's already ongoing. Operational excellence, we're going to launch our mobile banking solution in cards later this quarter. We're also getting ready for the rollout of the new leasing platform through the year with the rollout towards the end of the year. We're making our operating model simpler in person loans. There are some auto customer journey enhancements that are going live. We talked about the card transition program with proprietary propositions and new partnerships and growth in buy now, pay later. As we've talked about before, with new merchants onboarding and some product extensions. On the cultural side, we did roll out our new organization structure as discussed. We've aligned the teams, and we're now fully poised to dive into execution. So we go to the next page in terms of the outlook. We expect continued resilient performance as we go through the year. We shared our priorities and deliverables, and these will allow us to take advantage of the post-COVID rebound with our businesses having proven resilience and ability to rebound coming out of these phases from lockdowns. We've also shared with you our targets through 2026, with the ROE rebounding to 15% or more as of 2024, dividend growth in line with sustained sustainable earnings growth, and continued strong loss performance, as Volker talked about. So that's pretty much all we had for now. You know, quick takeaways. I think sound business performance to build on as we transition from 21 to 22. The simplification of our operating model, IT transformation has started. Pleased to confirm our transition program for cards is on track. We've launched initiatives to increase customer focus and differentiation. And we're ready to seize growth opportunities.